So many of you know I'm not from the South. So I learned a Southern tradition when I got here that when people come into the church or come into the community, the first thing we ask them is, who's your kin? Or who are you kin to? Or who are your people? So I've come to understand and really relish that question, because what I have discovered over, especially over the 7 years I've been here, that is a huge network here in Vance County, that probably at some point, if Miss Hilma was with us this morning, she could tell us how everyone here is connected somewhere along the family tree lines. But I grew up in a different age. I felt that way with confirmation this weekend, as they were realizing how old I am, in a different community. I grew up in a family that wasn't a church family. They were professing Christians, but we didn't go to church. And my family's heritage, my mom's people were Swedish. Mom was a Swedish Lutheran as a little girl. She was second generation stateside. So this non-church family, I figured out something about my mom. My mom made sure whenever she could that she got us to church. Now, I was very rebellious, if you can't imagine that. And at 18, my mother brought me to a baptismal font in Columbia, Connecticut, at the Congregational Church that she had long been associated with. And Mom had this unbeliever, this non-believing person, baptized. What I didn't realize then is that I'd become part of God's people. I often say it was an infant baptism at 18. So here I was, part of God's people, still figuring I could be as rebellious as anyone could possibly be. And I continued to rebel over the years until one night, 1985, Jesus and I had a come to Jesus meeting. And when I came to Jesus, I realized something. I realized that I would never be alone ever again. That I really was part of God's people. And that meant I was part of a huge body of Christ, that I was connected to people I didn't even know. I didn't even know you then. And I was already connected. And as my journey continued and I stepped into that moment when I said yes to God to be a woman of the cloth, my mom and I had this conversation. And I said, Mom, did you ever imagine that I would be a preacher? And Mom said to me, well, Carolyn, you did get a degree in philosophy, so I figured that's exactly what you were going to be. In 1977, my mother already knew where God was calling me to. That would happen in 2003. But it all came home to me about being God's people when we did my mother's memorial service. We were back in that church in Columbia, Connecticut, that congregational church. And their baptismal font's a little bit bigger than this. It's this huge, huge marble thing. And I was standing on their very large chancel area getting ready to lead worship. And I looked over and I realized that font was one of the places where it all began. That God's calling me to be part of God's people began because a woman who knew God and loved God wanted her children baptized, even if they didn't want to be. So who are your people? Now, we can talk about who are your people that you can name by their generation and who they are. But when Peter is speaking to us about whose people we are, that we are now God's people, Peter's talking about a community that is bigger than we can ever imagine. We're not individually related to God through Jesus Christ because we accepted his offer of salvation. We are related to one another once we accept that individual offer of salvation. That we become this body of Christ, this living, breathing body of Christ, that we are all living stones being built into God's spiritual temple. But the letter to Peter tells us a little bit more than that. The letter to Peter, that Peter writes, tells us that we have been formed as a body in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In order that we might proclaim the mighty acts of God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I can tell you that moment in Havelock, North Carolina, was a very dark moment for my life. But it was only through the persistent love of the man behind there on the keyboard, making sure you can hear me, that God continued to call me back, continued to use a human being to tell me of his love. And then this one was about three running around. And he was a child of great love. So love and light kept pouring in, not through just through God's intervention in the middle of the night, but through people, through people. And when that moment happened and I knew that I had to thank God and be part of a community, do you know what I did, church? Do you know what I did, brothers and sisters in Christ? I was working at the time. I looked at the people I worked with and I said to myself, who looks like a follower of Jesus? What does that person look like? And I had an idea as a non-follower what that person should look like. I found two. And I checked out their churches, and the one that God led me to was a United Methodist. So we, as God's church, we as brothers and sisters of Christ, are God's people. That's whose people we are. That's the primary family that we belong to. But what God wants is that family to grow. He wants us to bring our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren into worship and fill this place. And they might not even be related to us. But they're ours because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And because God called them into our lives so that we could share the good news, that we could bring light into those dark places that they have in their hearts or in their lives or in that moment. We've all been to a dark place at some point. We know what that feels like. But we also know what it feels like when that hand reaches and grabs us and says, it will be all right. You're not alone in the dark. I am with you. So remember whose people you are. You're God's people. And then I was really excited when I looked at this passage again, because I got this text from my son or a phone call. And he said he was coming this weekend. And he was going to be here on Mother's Day. And I thought, oh, joy, because those of you who don't know, this young man over here graduates next weekend with his Master's of Divinity from Hood Theological Seminary. And on July 2nd, we'll begin preaching in his two churches in Cottageville, South Carolina. And I thought, what a beautiful thing to be able to do, to worship together, leading worship as called people. And then I read this passage and it went, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And where better to taste that the Lord is good than here at his table? Because we know as people of God and people of whoever, who our kin are, that on special occasions we gather round tables with our favorite foods. Well, on this day, as God's people, we're gathering around God's table and feasting as God, through Jesus Christ, called us to feast whenever we can. So this